Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from you and to be challenged by your word. Thank you for the promises that you put in front of us, the ways that you say you will be with us as we've been talking about in this series in our problems. Life is life, and you offer to be with us. Would you help us to continue to learn that today and to trust you more and to come to you in faith? Again, God, thank you for this time. And as we're coming off of Easter, Jesus, again, we thank you for your work on a cross. We thank you for your promise that you kept of leaving the tomb empty, and that we can have our hope in you for our forgiveness and for our eternities. And so, God, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for all that you taught us about following you, about becoming Christ-like by the power of your Spirit. Thanks for all that you taught us, including teaching us to pray. So, Heavenly Father, hear us as we pray back to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. All right, glad you're with us. We're continuing this worship series called God Help Me. It's a simple prayer. Like, what we're understanding as we're going through this is that every one of us has problems. We all go through things. Life can be difficult. It's life. Problem after problem after problem, that's called life. But what we're trying to discover, what we're discovering is, as God teaches us in His Word, is that if we will apply this prayer of God Help Me, life changes. It gets better. We learn to trust Him. And so before I go any further, for those of you who understand this, happy Star Wars Day, and then I'm going to move on. All right. So now, as we've thought about it, as we've talked about problems, as we've done this, one thing we know is that problems cause reactions. When we have a problem, when we have something come up, last week we talked about it puts us in a fog, right? I can't really see what all is going on, but we have certain reactions, ways that we react to our problems. We react. Sometimes it's panic. Sometimes it's immediate fear or anxiety. But we also know that we have like physiological responses. There's things that happen in our bodies when a problem comes up. And there's an immediate problem. Something happens. The physical reactions that we have, at least some of the reactions that we have, how do we do that? How do we react? Well, oftentimes our breathing changes. It goes much faster. Our blood pressure goes up. Our heart rate goes up. It changes us. Something happens and, okay, so everything's going faster, right? My breathing, my heart, all those things. Anyone remember walking into a classroom, whether it was high school or college or whatever, and you get in the classroom, you're sitting down, you're just getting comfortable, and the teacher says or the professor says, all right, everybody get ready for the test we're taking today, and you've totally forgotten about it. That's like a nightmare I have still, and I'm long out of college. But anyway, I still have that. But those moments when you go, oh no, like my heart's faster, everything's going quicker. Well, other things that we do when we react, that heartbeat, that breathing faster, those type things. But then, when we're facing an immediate problem, our pain receptors, like the things that remind us that we're in pain, they start to shut down, as in, I don't feel pain. Like some people say, you know, you've kind of gone into shock and you're not feeling the pain of what just happened or what's going on. So sometimes that, our pain receptors will shut down. Also, our digestive and elimination systems will shut down. Politely, it means I might not have to go to the bathroom anymore. Okay? It's shut down. I don't have to. Your mouth gets dry, your throat tightens. This happens to me every Sunday, by the way. I stand up and get ready to talk and, throat tightens up. You start to perspire. You start to smell funny. Okay, we won't go any further. But you understand, our bodies react when we go through those things. Those are typical physiological responses to problems. But there is one response to problems that researchers have a hard time finding, no matter how they study it, is that when stressful situations come along, one of the responses they don't find is peace. Like peace. peace is not a natural response. Panic, fear, freaking out, blood pressure, those are natural responses. Peace is not a natural response when problems come up. It's not. Peace is not a normal response to a problem because we think, here's one of the reasons, because we think that to have peace, in order to have peace, we need to fix the problem or remove the problem. Once I remove the problem, then I can have peace. Once I get rid of the problem, then I can have peace. But I can't have peace until the problem is gone. Well, two problems. So we added. Now we have two problems if we think that we have to fix the problem before we can have peace. There's two problems with that. And I get it. Boy, I'd be a lot more peaceful if I didn't have problems. But if we're thinking I have to get rid of the problem in order to have peace, there's two problems with that. The first problem is this. Problems are unavoidable. Jesus told us, he was very clear, you will have not trials and sorrows, you will have many trials and sorrows. That's part of the deal. You're going to have problems. If you have problems all the time, you never have peace. Why are we talking about it? Because we can't quite get rid of them. In heaven, no problems. But we're not there yet. So if you fix your problem so that you can have peace, understand, once you fix that problem, there's two more problems waiting to take its place. We are always in problems. It's constant. We might have a brief moment of, I can forget everything. That doesn't mean the problems aren't still there. So in order to have peace, it's not, well, if I can fix the problem, right? The second problem with trying to have peace because our problems are fixed, does that make any sense? I don't know. It's backwards. Anyway, the second thing is, some problems are not fixable right away. Some problems are not fixable. Like if I have to get rid of all my problems and I can't, then I'll never have peace. Like, you can't fix cancer overnight. You can't undo the divorce. You can't magically put money into your account because you're broke, right? You can't just get rid of depression, get rid of it. Anxiety doesn't simply go away. Sometimes it's not fixable. Sometimes not fixable at all. Sometimes certainly not fixable immediately. How will we get to peace? So anyone here, let me just ask, anyone here need any peace? Man, I could use some peace in my life. Well, that's good. Because then we need to understand that real peace, hear me on this, I'm going to go slow. Real peace is not about being distracted from our problems temporarily. Because we always have problems. Real peace is not, well, I'm distracted away from my problems and now I can just have a moment. That's not peace. Real peace is not something we can create on our own. We just can't do it. Peace is more of a supernatural thing. It's a godly thing, not a human thing. And so real peace is something God gives us by his miraculous power, by his way of doing things. Then we can have peace and we start to trust him in the middle of our problems. That's where peace is. It's in the middle of our problems. Man, that's different. It's a different way to think, but, you know, God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And here's what it says. Here's what Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He says, and let the peace that comes from Christ. Wait, hang on. Not the peace that comes from working harder. Not the peace that comes from trying to get rid of all my problems. No, the peace that comes from Christ. And I'll keep going. Let that peace rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Man, I love that. And always be thankful. Even if you're in the middle of a problem, how can you go back to God and still be thankful? Huh. Listen, the only real peace, what we find from Paul's writing here is the only real peace that we can experience as human beings comes from Jesus. It comes from Christ. It doesn't come from the things of this world. True peace, real peace, comes from Christ. But he allows us to choose. If I choose to trust him for peace, I can. I can choose not to trust him for peace. It's my choice. He doesn't force us to have peace. It's our choice. But he says, but if you choose real peace, you do it my way, not your way. You have to let go of your way of doing things. And we have to think about things the way God does. And so he allows us to choose to trust him for peace in our problems. So will I choose to rest in his peace, or will I choose to just panic? That comes more natural. I'll just panic. Now, Jesus offers us his peace. John 14:27, here's what he says. He says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. See, I told you, right? It comes only from him. World cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. If I handle things my way, I'm going to be troubled and afraid. If I start to trust him and his peace, if I choose that, it can go differently. It can go better. Will I choose to rest in God's peace, or will I choose just to continue to panic when I face my problems, and then I deal with being troubled and afraid? What will I choose? So you see this in your notes. I choose to rest in God's peace during my problems when. So today we're just going to talk about, how do I choose that? What choices do I need to make so that I can experience peace in this life the way God wants me to? What can I do? How do I do that? So again, in your notes, grab that pen. Let's start filling in blanks. Here it is. Number one, I acknowledge that God is in control. If I'm going to experience peace, if I'm going to rest in God's peace during my problems, not getting rid of them, during my problems, then I need to acknowledge that God is in control. God is in control. Anyone here, as you write that down, God is in control. Anyone here ever feel like you're out of control? Like most of us, right? If you feel, hey man, I'm out of control, like these things are happening in my life and I can't stop them. This is happening and this person is doing this and I can't control that person and I can't control that situation and I can't control. If you felt that, well, that's part of being human. That's where we're at. But what do we want to do? I want to do what's impossible. I want to control people. I want to control circumstances. I want to control life. But I can't. And amid all the chaos, we wonder if God is paying any attention, if he cares for us at all. God, this is out of control, this is out of control, this is out of control. I'm trying to control it, but I can't. Why aren't you? God, why aren't you taking control of this? God, why aren't you doing this? We start to blame God and we say, God left. I'm going to have to handle it. I'm going to have to be in control of it because God doesn't seem to be in control at all. What's he doing? Is he on lunch break? What's happening? Listen, God has not left you. And he cares what you go through. And he is in control. Here's what it says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for through him, God created... Okay, hang on. What's that next word? Through him, God created... Talking about Jesus. Through him, God created everything. Like there's nothing he didn't control. He created everything. Everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Who created? Not me, not you, God. God created all of it. Who has control of it? God. Not us. It's not us. He created everything. The things we can see, the things we can't see. How can I control the things I can't see? You can't. Well, how can I control the things I can see? You can't. God's in control. Like it was all created through him and for him. It's his. So guess who's in control? It's not me and it's not you. So you may be surprised by your problems. I don't know. Ever get surprised like I'm having this problem? It's like, well, I never saw that coming. I didn't know that was going to happen. Well, how did that happen? Guess what? God is never surprised. Doesn't take him off guard. Like you have a problem and you might be absolutely rocked by your problems. God is not rocked by problems. He's steady. You might feel out of control. God is never out of control. God is in control when your life feels like it's crumbling, when your relationship fails, when you hate your job, when your finances are going south. He understands that stuff. He's still there. God is in control when you cannot see your future. He can see the unseen. He can see the things of this world and beyond this world. He's got it. He can see it. So if you're going to find peace, and again, we're talking real peace, not peace like the world talks about. That's scripture, by the way. Not peace the way the world talks, but real peace. If you're going to find that, the first step is admit that God is in control, and I'm not. So what's our prayer? God, help me. I am out of control, and I can't handle this. But I know, God, help me. I know that you can. I know that you can handle this. I recognize that who you are and that you're in control. You've got this. God, thanks. God, help me. You can. Thanks. Right? But will we make this choice? How do we make that choice? Well, one help is that when we remember what the Lord has done for us in the past. We've used this scripture fairly recently. I wanted to use it again. Because some of us, as we've spent time in faith, as we've trusted God for one situation or another situation, we find that He's faithful and He comes through when I truly trust Him. Too often we say, God, I trust you, but then I take it back and try to handle it myself, and then it gets all messy. But when I've trusted God, God, you've got this, I can't see what you can see, I trust you. What we find is He's faithful, and we start building up this catalog of, yeah, God came through, yep, God came through, yep, God came through. And when we have that in our past, it starts to affect how we think about things. It starts to say, well, God's handled this, 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 and this. I bet He can handle this one too. And we start to grow in that faith and we trust Him more. And so maybe some of us need to start building up a past. Like I need to start trusting Him now so that I can start having some things cataloged. That I could trust God in this and I can trust God in that. But here's what it says. Psalm 77 verse 11, it says this. But then I recall, the psalmist writes, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. That is somebody who has built up. God, I might be going through troubles, but I've seen what you can do. Another example of this, and I don't know if you remember this, because I get it, when problems come along, it's much easier to just panic, isn't it? That's what comes natural. I'll just panic. It's easier to panic than to rest in God's peace. Let me give you another example. The psalmist says, you know, I've got this past. Another person who had that past. I don't know if you remember this hymn. If you've been around church for a while, there's a hymn called It Is Well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Okay? So it is well. Well, that was written by a guy, a Christian, who had probably built up quite a past with God. He'd spent some time with God and he trusted God through all things. His name was Horatio Spafford, back in the 19th century, back in the 1800s, he was a successful lawyer in Chicago. In 1871, he and his wife experienced a tragic loss of their son. He died. Just a few months later was the Great Chicago Fire, and that same, the Spafford family, this successful lawyer and his family, lost all of their real estate. It all got burned up, and there wasn't a whole lot of insurance back then. They lost because of the Great Chicago Fire. 2 years after that, in 1873, so that was 1871, 1873, Horatio Spafford put his wife and his four daughters on a ship going over to Europe. They were going to visit, and they were headed over to Europe. But on that trip, there was a tragic accident, a collision for that ship, and all four daughters drowned. His wife lived. And a few days later, Horatio Spafford got on a boat to go over to England to meet with his grieving wife and to bury their four daughters, or to have a funeral for their four daughters. In the middle of that trip across the Atlantic, he penned the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." What Horatio Spafford, a longtime Christian, had figured out was, this life isn't it. And sometimes God does things or God allows things to happen that will grow our faith. I can't understand it. I can't fully understand it. But I will trust that He's still in control. I'll trust Him. Easier said than done. I got it. But he trusted that God was still in control. All right, so the first one. If I'm going to choose to rest in God's peace during my problems, I need to acknowledge that God is in control. The second one, if I'm going to rest in God's peace, and again, this is a choice, I choose, number two, to practice blessing others. I practice blessing others. Now, I know what you're thinking. Practice blessing others. I thought we were talking about my problems. What do you mean bless others? I need the blessing. I'm the one who's going through it. Pastor Sam, what are you talking about? Blessing others. This is my problem, right? I'm the one going through it. I'm the one who needs served. You're telling me that while I'm going through whatever problem I'm going through, if I want peace during that problem, I need to bless others? Well, here's the truth. It is right in the middle of our own problems that it is the perfect time to focus on other people's needs. I'll say that again as best I can. It's right in the middle of our personal problems when I'm going through something difficult, when I'm going through something hard, when I'm kind of hitting the panic button on myself, it is a good time for me to start focusing on others and their needs. We've heard this, right? We've heard this. And Paul wrote about it. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he says, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." It's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you hear what Jesus said? He said, if you want blessed, give. And care for others. If you want to be blessed, if you need a blessing, it's time to focus on other people. You need to start serving others. So in the middle of our problems, if we want peace and blessing, we take our eyes off of ourselves and we start looking for others to serve and to bless. What happens? Like, if I'm having problems and I'm totally focused on my problems, I'm totally focused on my problems and I start wallowing in it, right? I start being so focused on it, it starts to overtake me. It starts to consume my thoughts. This problem, this problem, this problem. I get angry about it and I start to get bitter about it because I'm just focusing on my own problem, and just rolls and rolls and rolls inside me, right? Well, instead of getting tunnel vision about it and our problem becomes our whole life because that's what I'm focused on, instead of that, instead of becoming a servant to our problem, Jesus invites us to start serving other people in their problems, in their needs. You know, there is something miraculous about how God has created us to serve other people. God has created us to have servant hearts and to serve others. And that how that serving others really helps us in the middle of our problems. So when we allow ourselves to get out of our comfort zone, you know what my comfort zone is when I have problems? Wallowing in it. I'm just going to keep focusing on it and keep dealing with it and woe is me. That's my comfort zone. But God invites to get out of my comfort zone and go and serve somebody else. Go and serve somebody else. It brings peace that is hard to understand. When I serve other people, I get away from thinking I'm the only one who suffers. I start focusing on that other person and caring for that other person, and it goes way farther than me just thinking about my stuff. We can get a better perspective of our own problems if I'll care for somebody else and realize I'm not the only one who goes through stuff. I'm not the only one. Just a month or so ago, we just did a short-term mission trip down to Western North Carolina, where they had hurricanes come through and tornadoes and just devastated so many homes and so many communities. And we had a group, our men's growth group, went down and just spent some time there serving some other people. That was eye-opening. I got problems. I'm not the only one. Listen, you can go anywhere in the world. You can do a mission trip anywhere in the world. Just pick a place. Because people are hurting. And people have problems. And I can gain some peace if I go help somebody else. Want to choose to rest in God's peace? Listen to this. Proverbs 11, verse 25, it says, "The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. If I'm going through a problem, I might need some refreshed, right? I might need that. Well, what's the best way to do that? Go start refreshing others. Get my eyes off myself and care for somebody else. Be there for them. You want peace? Choose. Choose it. It'll take action. Choose to accept what cannot be changed. I choose to accept what cannot be changed. Choose to accept what cannot be changed. As you write that down. This one tests me. Because, I don't know about you, but I like fixing things. I don't like leaving them. I don't like accepting that things can't be changed. Let's fix it. I want to fix things for my kids. Like my daughters, my son-in-law. I want to fix it. I want to step in and, hey, let's just iron this out and let's solve it and let's just whatever. I see problems in myself and others. I want to solve the problem. I'm usually better at solving problems in other people than I am in me, but I want to solve the problem. I want to fix things for my kids. I want to fix things for my friends, people in the church. I just want to fix it. But there's so many people that I love so dearly that I really can't change anything for them. It's up to them. I can't do it. I can't change their health issues. I can't change their financial straits, their career choices. I can suggest some things, maybe. Sometimes I can suggest, sometimes I can't, because that makes it worse. But I know I can't fix it. And I found that it doesn't help me to fix things when I'm bitter and angry about the things I'm going through. It doesn't help fixing things in me when I'm focused on the problem, when I'm not trying to get above the fog. It doesn't help. It doesn't help my situation or other people's situations when I'm stuck in it and feel like, you know, I should be able to change this. There's some things I can't change. I start to feel defeated and overwhelmed. I can feel defeated and overwhelmed, or I can start to accept God's peace. God, there's some things I can't change. There's some things I can't do. Help me to trust that you're still in control. Think about Job just for a moment from the Old Testament. And I can't go back and recap the whole thing, but here's what I can tell you. Job was a very wealthy man who lost everything. And God gave permission for that to happen because he trusted Job's faith in God. And so he was a rich man who lost everything. He could have responded with anger, with resentment. He could have felt, I'm sure he felt devastated. He could have responded in bitterness. But though Job felt devastated, and I'm sure he did because he lost everything, and he had a lot to lose, and he lost it all. Here's what it says, Job 1:21. He said, this is Job speaking, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You just lost everything. Well, I'm not in control. And there's some things that can't be changed. I mean, I can sit here and complain about it, and I can be bitter about it, and I can grumble and whine and all that stuff, but is it going to change anything? No, it cannot be changed. And so he said, so it can't be changed. I might as well just keep praising the Lord because he's in control. Do you see how different this is? This is not how normal people function. This is how followers of Jesus function. It's different. I can't control it. There's some things I can't control, some things I can choose, some things I can't. And if I can't, I need to be okay with that. I need to praise the Lord anyway. You know, so it's important to remember that God does not cause our problems. He simply wants to bring good out of the bad. Praising God is a pathway. Praising God is a pathway to God's peace. Listen, Paul writes this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, he writes, do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything. See that? We should leave that up on the screen for a second. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Can you imagine what our world would look like if a whole bunch fewer people stopped complaining and arguing about everything? Listen, if you have a problem you can fix, fix it. If it's a problem that you cannot fix, can you accept that you can't fix it without grumbling and complaining, arguing about it? Listen, things don't get better. Let me be abundantly clear here because people seem to be really confused about this. Things don't get better. Things don't get fixed when we complain and argue. Some people must think because they complain and argue all the time, I'm fixing it. By complaining and arguing, I can fix everything. You can't. You can't. It just makes it worse. Things don't change and get better by complaining and arguing. We may as well keep praising God because He's the one who's in control. And He is still good. And He loves you. And He wants to bless you. Last one, number four. Number four, I maintain a focus on eternity. I maintain a focus on eternity. So we've talked about this. So God's in control. I practice blessing others instead of just focusing on me. The third one was accept what can't be changed. I can't change it. I trust you, God, because you're still in control. And the last one is this, is don't lose focus. Don't lose that gaze. We talked about it last week. Gaze on the things of eternity. Now, I don't want us all living in la-la land. That's not what He's asking us to do. But He says, don't forget that this life is short and it's only a small piece of eternity. It's that grain of sand on the beach. It's that drop in the ocean. Please just have that picture is what He invites us to do. Focus. Eternity is a long time. Maybe you've heard the phrase heaven on earth, right? And we get certain glimpses of that. I think, you know, I eat certain things. I don't know about you guys. I eat certain things like that's heaven on earth. That is really good. You know, people around me who bake and all that stuff. That's heaven on earth. And hanging out with family and friends, the fun, the laughter, those moments. There are times that we feel safe and secure. And I just have this overwhelming sense of security. And it just feels like heaven on earth. But then that heaven on earth keeps getting interrupted, doesn't it? On this side of eternity, it just keeps getting interrupted. Because heaven on earth isn't really a thing. Because it gets interrupted by bills and fights and arguments and tough days and health scares and financial burdens and career choice. It just gets messy. This earth will never become truly like heaven. But we trust Jesus that we have heaven to look forward to. And so here's a glimpse of that. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. John writes, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Think about that. Why do we keep our eyes on eternity? Because the promise, and God so far is 100% on keeping His promises. The promise is, we will be in a place where there are no more tears, there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's no more death. It's pure joy. It's not just a glimpse, not just a little heaven on earth. It's all the time. Listen, Jesus tells us that we are created to live forever. We are immortal. We will live on forever is what we find in Scripture. And this life is just that small sample. He is clear. We will live forever somewhere. And according to Jesus, there's only two choices. One is with our loving and gracious God for all eternity. Or the other one is separated from our loving and gracious God for all eternity. We're separated from God. We're in hell. We're connected to God. We're in heaven. Again, our choice. If we want peace in this life, understand that the most important thing in this life is to get to the next in His presence. So we need to have our sins forgiven. We need to turn our lives over to Christ as Lord. Listen, that's why Jesus came, to die on a cross so we could be forgiven, to leave a tomb empty so we're reminded, you also will live on like I do. You will live on somewhere forever. What do you choose? Will we spend eternity with Jesus in what He called paradise? You know, when we have problems, I don't know, I wish I was better, but when we have problems, we sort of react the way we react. What I'm working on right now is to shorten up the response time. Like I'm going to react with, oh, I can't breathe and I can't go to the bathroom or whatever, right? So you have that immediate response. And, you know, the temperature goes up and the heart rate goes faster and I smell funny, okay? Like we have all those things happening. I'm hoping I can shorten the time to get to the place. How quick can I get to that place of turning to God and resting in His peace? God, here's a problem, but I'm trusting You. during my problem. I can't fix the problem and then have peace. I can have peace within it. Will I choose that? I want to get quicker at choosing to rest in His peace and not hit the panic button. Will we make these choices? Listen, problems, we know this. In this life, problems are going to come no matter what. Jesus promised. You will have not just sorrows and trials, you'll have many sorrows and trials. That's how it is. We're going to have them. What are we going to choose when they come along? Jesus reminds us of this. John 16, verse 33. I say we say this together, okay? It starts with, I have told you. Ready? Go. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Man, that is good. Let's take heart. Let's trust Jesus. Choose Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for, well, there's so much here. But your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts, and that's revealed in your word as we talked about it today. We don't respond to problems the way you're asking us to, but would you keep teaching us? Would you help us to get quicker at turning to you as problems come along? Quicker at trusting that you're in control and you're God and we're not. Just help us. We need you. And we need you to keep helping us so that we can model that for some other people. We have people around us hurting all the time. Would you help us to serve you in this world? That more people can have hope, more people can have peace. Because of you. God, thanks again for today. Thanks for your amazing love and your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, been a great day here. Glad you have been with us today. Don't forget, before you get out of here, finish filling out that connection card. Take a next step. You're going to drop that in baskets at the back. Also, offering envelope, same thing. If it's your first time with us, don't forget to grab that book, Unshakable. We want you to have that. That's our gift to you. Again, fill out that connection card. Drop that off. That's one way that we stay connected, and we keep saying, God, I'm going to follow you and stay connected to you. All right, next week, we are continuing with God Help Me. Don't forget that prayer. You can memorize it. Three words, God Help Me. Next week, we're talking about God Help Me. And we realize that God makes many promises in his word about our lives. He makes many promises. So God Help Me to claim those promises. Next week, it's Mother's Day. Let's claim those promises on Mother's Day. See you there.